Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Ed Pisani with Business Talk. A portion of Ed Pisani does business and social interviewing. I want to thank you very much for tuning in today. I want to talk to the business owners that are out there that are listening that want help actually defining when they receive a resume what they should be like targeting and looking at. I'm a 10-year long veteran business owner entrepreneur, and I know for a fact I've had this come into the play numerous times. I have had a lot of different interns and employees over the years. I know for a fact hiring can be very challenging and difficult. So I wanted to help other entrepreneurs that are just starting out with their startup really think about hiring the first employees and going through that one step at a time. So you put out your ad for whatever position it might be. Maybe it's sales, maybe it's production, maybe it's customer service, maybe it's some other position related in your company. And you're now kind of getting resumes in and you're looking at them. What things should you be aware of that are important? Well, first things first, I always look at a resume and I say, is there spelling errors? Did the person take time to proofread their work? This is really big because if they have spelling errors in the email back to you or in their resume, they're not very detail-oriented, and that's going to affect your business down the road. Because as you get busier and you're working in your business to grow it effectively, and you have to stop and say, hey, wait a minute, you're not spelling the word want right, or you're not spelling the word custom right, or you're not spelling the word city right. Those are simple things that will make your impression with your clients go down. And it doesn't take long for that to happen and start affecting your business in a negative light. So I always say, like, look at the spelling first. The second thing I say to look at very, very hard is the actual grammar. Are they saying things correctly? Or are they using the letters from text messaging to explain things like OMG, WTF? If you even see W2F, you need to actually move on to the next resume, because that's just a sign that there's going to be issues. I'm not going to go into what those letters stand for. You can look it up online because this is a kid-friendly program. But that is something that I would definitely say steer clear of. The third thing I would say you want to take a hard look at is their layout of their resume. Depending upon your industry, if the font is so big it's taking up most of the page, it kind of shows that they're deficient in having the necessary information to stand out as a potential really good employee. It's good to have a picture on the resume. That's a bonus because then you know who you're possibly going to interview. I always suggest if you request information on there and you don't see it, move on to the next resume. I have had times where I wanted to get references right up front and they said references available on request, and I could tell they didn't even take the time to read the business listing because it requested three professional references, or I get the references and they're a mixture of different things that I didn't even want. I just wanted that professional past history business related references, and they gave me mom, dad, they gave me something that didn't apply at all, and it was just like, all right, well, you're not paying attention. Other thing I look at is in the job history and career history, and even like in the community history, if I'm putting a job out for a specialized position, I want to know that they have some experience in that position. And I don't want to see other industries that don't apply to what I'm looking for. It's good to show that they have work employment history for like maybe some retail place, but if you're in a specialized niche, you want to make sure you're actually hiring someone with that background. If you see so much of stuff that doesn't apply, you may want to take a hard look at that and say, do they really have the skills that I need to have? Because sometimes they're doing it volunteer because you may be such a specialized business that you're not ready just to like step into that bigger arena. So person coming in, they may be volunteering their time and saying, I'm doing it at the church, I'm doing it at the charity, and this is where I'm showing my stuff and cutting my teeth in the specialized industry, because some of them are so niche that they may have to relocate to you, or they may have to just say, I'm going to leave my retail job to come work for you and have that full-time income or part-time income that I want. The next thing I really say is a good thing to stare at is the dates when people work on the resume. If they do list a company, that's a lot of times the biggest indicator if they're being honest and they have a high level of integrity, because those dates just start and finish when they're there. If they say they're working from like August to September, contract job for like a retail store, that's fine. Or like some other company, I'll just use retail as an example, but wherever it might be, you want to really take a hard look and say, okay, did they really work at those dates? If you call the employer up, they're required by law to tell you when the start and end date was. And if they say, I worked from August to September at this contract company, and it turns out they actually started on July 31st, that's an integrity issue. And also it shows lack of attention to detail. I mean, they had a lot of time to set up their resume and get all these details correct. So you need to take a hard look and saying, are they being 100% honest with you? The other thing I like to do is take a hard look at the job description, because some people like to make up job descriptions on resumes to pump up their resume and make it look better. But if they were an intern or they were like level one associate and their title didn't include the fancy buzzwords that you're looking for your job opportunity, again, that's a sign of a lack of integrity, lack of honesty, and it's going to affect you down the road. So legally, you can't ask questions about like the responsibilities and achievements they did in their workplace. All you can ask them is like, when did they work from start to finish date, the name of the company, the job title they had, and would you hire them again? Like, everything else is suspect. And depending upon the state, you might be able to ask one or two more questions. Other places you can't. You can't ask them how much they were getting paid. If they said they've been getting paid $35,000-$40,000 a year at another place and you're offering them a job equal or similar value, that's something you can ask. What I always like to look at myself personally is I like to look at their actual contact information. The first and last name, how they present themselves. Is it a nickname? Is it a full name? Because that lets me know, are they social people? Are they comfortable in their own skin? Or are they very formal? I'm more formal on paper, but when someone meets me, I'm like, hey, I'm Ed. That's important to look at where they're located at. And I've had people wanting to get a job with me that were like four or five cities away, two counties over. And I'm like, hey, do you understand this is an in-office opportunity and you would have to be here in the morning on time from where you're coming from? Because it takes you like, I would say I Google mapped it 45 minutes to an hour and a half from your location. Are you comfortable with that? And like, oh, no, I didn't look at that. Like, so I like to ask that question just to make sure they're on the same page. Because some people are willing to travel if you have the best opportunity and they don't mind driving upwards of an hour. Other people are just, again, they're not paying attention to your business ad. And in some cases, some people put out business ads where they don't really set their location. They talk to them on the phone call about that. That's the other reason why I like looking at the actual contact information. I like to make a personal phone call to people so I know who they are. I can see how they sound over the phone. I can get a grasp of their interest. Sometimes I even like getting their voicemail, because when I listen to the voicemail, that gives me a real insight to who they're trying to make an impression of who they are. They're like kind of back of their mind. This is how cool I am, or this is who I really am. And I've had them where like there was rock and roll music, people were yelling, people had a snarky response on their phone message, and it left a bitter taste in my mouth, because I was like, okay, they're pretty snarky saying just something, or they're playing a practical joke like they're answering the phone, but actually they're not, and then the beep goes off. I don't want to hire someone like that. Because if they're doing that to me as a potential employer, what are they going to do to my clients? I don't want them to be around talking to my clients, because they're going to be a very bad first impression. So with that being said, I like to have a hard look and listen and talk to them over the phone. Most times it's important that I get them on the phone and I get a first impression upon them, listening to them, seeing if we're going to be on the same page, what their energy levels like over the phone, what their personality style is over the phone, and that'll make me decide if I really want to have that interview with them or I don't. If they're really low energy on the phone, they're going to be even lower energy when they come in, so why bother? I want that upper beat energy type of person. Other people don't. Some people want to have the low energy, low key type of personality. And if that's your business style, that you need to keep that in mind when you're talking to them on the phone. The other thing I like to look at is the email address. I like to cross-reference the email address for myself personally to their LinkedIn account. I know legally you can't do that. You can't look at someone's social media account. It's against the law. But being a small business owner or a HR person, you can just see what's available out there. I like to look at the email address and say, where does this take me to? In LinkedIn, it gives me an idea of their resume compared to their online resume on LinkedIn. Does it match? Does it not match? I sometimes see a profile picture. I see some work history, some awards, some other things that are like, oh, look, a lot of people are giving them a lot of likes for these areas. This is what I'm looking for. This matches my interest of this position. Or if I see a lot of things they like and other things, I might say they're not representing themselves honestly to me again. And a resume for me is all about honesty. And it's something that needs to be important. I know some of my friends that have businesses that go on Facebook and they go on other platforms like Instagram, and they see people literally giving the middle finger, literally cursing. I saw a story of one of my friends, or heard a story, I shouldn't say saw a story, I heard a story of one of my friends finding a person actually doing drugs on Instagram. And it was like a 5-second clip of them smoking and then exhaling the smoke. But it was bad enough where he was like, really? Really? And I was like, I'm sorry that happened. But it's important just to be mindful that you really are wanting to protect your business, because your business is your baby. My business is my baby. You know, you spend a lot of time and effort really building it up. And I look at an employee as almost being like a babysitter. Do I trust you to watch my baby if I have to walk out the door? Is my baby going to be okay when I come back? Or is it not going to be okay? And that's how I kind of look at employees. They're like glorified babysitters. And the best babysitter makes your child better. And the worst ones don't. So that's the kind of analogy I like to put forward. The other things I like to look at when I'm staring at a resume, and these are just important to me, and each one has their own thing, their own way. I like to look at the education and see what level of education they have. Excuse me, I misspoke there. I've noticed that people that are going in college or going in high school and they're working on a degree, I'm kind of goal-oriented, so I want to know, when are you going to be finished with that degree? When are you going to have it completed? What's your goal for yourself? Because I don't really expect you to have everything I want to do in my office be known in your degree. I mean, you should have the general high altitude perspective of it if you're in high school or college. But I want to know when you're finishing it and when you're going to be done. If it's going to take you 2 years to be finished, just be honest. Say my completion date is 2 years out. When, if I don't see that, I'm like, well, they're maybe not goal-oriented. And I don't want to have someone in my office that's not goal-oriented. I want people to be more goal-oriented than I am. I want to have them be a self-starter more than I am and say, okay, we have to get this done today. So all Ed has to worry about is finding the next customer, making sure we're growing the proper way. And that's important. So education to me is just like, is their degree or high school diploma or awards or honors or certificates really fitting with what I want to do, first off? And second off, are they able to complete something? Are they able to finish it? Do they have goals? Those are important things. So I think you should take a hard look at those as well. Maybe you might want to take a stare at resumes and see who is completed, who has a goal for completion, who has nothing there. And that's a good conversation starter when you have someone on the phone, like, what are their goals? I want to kind of finish this off with just looking at the hobbies. One of the things that I really like about the community service and skills section more than saying like, yeah, you know how to use Microsoft Word. I mean, in our current day and age, I mean, who doesn't know how to use something on the internet? What I want to know is, are you grounded? And if you're volunteering somewhere at a church, a charity, maybe even like a gaming club of some sort, that you're engaged and involved in your community and you're not going anywhere, you're just not going to pick up and leave. Because one of the things I have in my business is I have high turnover, just because people decide, you know what, I'm just going to go to North Carolina or North Dakota or somewhere else because it's a booming economy, or my friend lives out there and he gives me a place to sleep. So I picked up someone early on that had very little commitment level to the area, which is kind of scary because it takes me a lot of time, several weeks, to set up an ad, to get the proper people in place, to go through the interviews, to employ them, to get them basically trained, and then have them walk out the door, because there's just a really fun opportunity to go car camping in the Northwest or go hiking the AT trail. Well, good on you, but now I have to restart that whole multiple week or multiple month process to find someone to replace you. If I'm lucky, I have a couple other resumes I can pull and have you or that person be replaced really quick. But that really kind of frustrates me, and it probably will frustrate you too as a new business owner that's starting up, that you're just now getting your ball rolling and trying to get those initial hires in place. On the flip side, if you have a high turnover for like a person that's a flake, it makes your business look bad, like you're doing something wrong as an employer. And in some cases you're not. It's just you hired someone that's not really committed to being in the area. And that's scary, because if someone's willing to pack up and leave within a moment's notice, you have no consistency in your business. So I recommend you look at that community service level. Where are they volunteering? What are they active in? Even if they say, I go to church every week at this church, now you know they're committed to staying in the area. They want to be involved. They want to be active. So I like to look at that for myself personally and say, is this person going to stick around, or are they going to take off in a month? So, I mean, it's one thing to say in the objective statement that you want to be a long-term person and you want to grow in a field and become a manager. So I know moving might happen. And if you're a small business, you may be a stepping stone, unless you're growing like wildfire where you keep on promoting someone and keep on giving them more money. But some people want the experiences of working with a very large corporation, and they might be a stepping stone for bigger opportunities for them. And that's okay. You want to know that in the objective statement. But even if they have no commitment to stay in the area because they have no community service or hobbies, like, that's just, to me, dangerous. So I would say take a hard look at that. Those are the things I look at as a business owner when I stare at a resume. I know you probably can find a gazillion other things that you would say, hey, Ed, you know, I look at this, I look at that, or I don't really care about what you just said. This is more important to me. So just take a moment and really think about, when you look at the resume, what you're looking for. And this is great for a new business startup or a first-time hiring manager to help them be successful. I just spent about 20 minutes talking about this. This is just my thoughts I wanted to put out there. Please feel free to elaborate further on this. And if you're also in the podcast community, you might listen to this and say, hey, I have ideas that can improve upon this, and I have ideas that can make this even better, and I'm going to use some of what he said somewhere else. God bless America. It's a free country. You can go ahead and do that. Give me some credit that you found my information online. So as someone listens to it, you can say, and this is where I heard this. I heard this from Ed Pisani Jr. This is his website. For all those listeners that are coming on board, take a moment to click like and subscribe. I'm on iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, a few other places around the web, and listen to my other shows. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you very much for listening, or wonderful evening or morning, whatever time of day it is for you. Take care.